Now it's Food Friday, and here's a topic that came from behind the scenes here at Central Time after some talk about how to use up our milk before it goes bad. I've been there. Maybe you have. We buy a half gallon or a whole gallon thinking we're going to use it all, or we buy too much milk and we just wanted to go with some cookies. I had a big adjustment to make when my kids were little. I'd buy 2 or 3 gallons at a time and go through them. Now we keep it around. We don't guzzle it. So we decided to get some advice from the street. Milk Street, to be precise. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite way to use up milk before it goes bad? Do you ever make your own yogurt or ricotta cheese? Do you have favorite recipes that involve milk as a key ingredient? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Chris Kimball joins us now. He's the host and founder of Chris Kimball's Milk Street. Check out Milk Street's radio Sundays at 10 a.m. here on the Ideas Network. Chris, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get to milk in particular, Chris, I'm always happy when I can figure out a way to use up, you know, the other half of that bundle of cilantro or those bread butts I keep in the freezer or whatever. Do you find a sense of satisfaction when you can use a thing up before you lose it?
Use it, yes. Well, you know, stale bread, if you look back at Fanny Farmer from 1896, there are all sorts of recipes for stale bread. They never threw anything out. So they would obviously make breadcrumbs, and they would do all sorts of things with them. You can just cut them into croutons, toss with a little bit of olive oil, put them in a skillet for about 6 minutes and toast them with some salt and herbs, and they go on almost anything. And that's really a good thing to do with that. So old bread is an easy thing to take care of.
Actually, one of my biggest uses for old bread and milk that's getting ready to go is bread pudding. Two birds with one stone there. Now, when I say, Chris, you know, milk in cooking, I don't know, what are some of your favorite recipes that pop to mind when it comes to just straight up using milk in, I don't know, sauces, soups, whatever?
Well, there's a few things. You know, the Italians cook or poach, braise pork in milk, right? And it's ugly. I mean, the milk kind of looks curdled. Actually, I think it probably does curdle, but it's really delicious. And we found you can actually poach or cook chicken breasts in it as well. So if you got a lot of milk left over, that actually works great. So that would be one thing to do. You can make like ricotta. I mean, this is so simple. You take a couple quarts of milk, a little bit of lemon juice, 2 tablespoons, you know, bring the milk up to like 180, sort of a sub simmer, put in the juice, whisk it, and then sort of keep it at that temperature for about 10 minutes. And then you have ricotta, you know, which is pretty amazing. If you up the amount of lemon juice a little bit to like a quarter cup, heat the milk maybe to 200 and then take it off and then do that. And then you have paneer, which is an Indian cheese, you know, it's a little thicker. And that has to be pressed and left overnight. But, you know, paneer also doesn't break down. It doesn't melt. So you can crumble it like cojita or something and just put that on salads or anything you like. So, or you can also, you know, saute it and make, a little McMuffin out of it with a pita bread and maybe some hot peppers or something. But those are things that are really simple to do, and it's kind of fun to do.
Well, you took us into ricotta land, and so we've got that homemade ricotta, and you've shared a recipe with us. We've got a few recipes from Milk Street at WPR.org/Food Friday, a rigatoni with ricotta sage pesto. Talk us through the recipe a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, what's so interesting about pastas is there's a million ways of doing it, and there's probably 1,000 different types of pasta. But you can flavor oil just in a microwave with some sage or anything you like just to get the flavor. And then with some parsley and a food processor and some lemon zest. There's a lot of the Amalfi area on the coast, which is west of Rome, southwest of Rome. They grow these huge lemons. And so they use lemon in everything, including a lot of pasta dishes. And then you take that. The parsley, a little parmesan, lemon zest, the oil, and stir that in ricotta, and that's basically your sauce. What you want to do is always reserve some of the cooking water when you make pasta, and that thins out the sauce a little bit. Also, that water is starchy, so it helps the sauce to cling to the pasta. So, you know, it's the simplest thing in the world. It'll take as much time to make this as it does to boil a pasta.
Nice. And that ricotta we can make pretty quick, too. And by the way, if we make a whole bunch of ricotta, we've got that entree there. And we've got another recipe, our dessert you shared with us, a ricotta semolina cheesecake. Now, I know cheesecake, you can use different kinds of cheeses in it. Talk about ricotta as our cheese in our cheesecake.
Well, there are a lot of cheesecakes from Italy that are ricotta cheesecakes, right? I mean, that's a classic style. It tends to be not as high as a classic American style. It's a little curdier. It's a little bit wetter. The top, when it's done right, is almost black. It's very dark. I first had it about 20 years ago in New York, actually, downtown New York, and I just fell in love with it. So if I have that versus the regular cream cheese, I definitely would go with a ricotta cheesecake. It just has a moister texture to it. It's not as dense. It's a little bit lighter, so it's very good.
It's Food Friday. We've got Chris Kimball with us, founder and host of Chris Kimball's Milk Street. You can hear him Sunday mornings at 10 here on the Ideas Network. We are talking about cooking with milk and with things we can make out of milk, maybe helping use up that half gallon or whole gallon before it goes bad. Do you have a favorite recipe that involves milk? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And do you make your own ricotta or paneer or yogurt? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you could post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Stuart on Facebook, who writes that he likes to use up his milk for homemade macaroni and cheese. And now, Chris, I know at Milk Street and over the years, you like to take new looks at some of the old classics. Do you have thoughts on the secrets to a great homemade mac and cheese?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of stovetop version, not the baked version. You know, when I was in Italy just before things started up about a year ago in Bologna, and when they make a ravioli with a ragu bolognese, they use almost no cheese and they use the meat sauce. And it's very soft and very liquid and very luxurious. So I like sort of a wet mac and cheese. You do all entirely on the stovetop. I think it should have that looseness to it. It shouldn't be baked. There shouldn't be crispy bits. Now, some people... You know, some people live for the crispy topping, you know, in the oven. But I like it really soft and unctuous and rich, and that's how I like it. So you certainly could use it for that. You know, another thing we haven't talked about is this rice pudding. I mean, you just take a Boria rice or any kind of rice, and you par cook it with water, and then about halfway through, you throw in a bunch of milk. You finish it with milk. So start it with water, finish it with milk. And if you want it, everyone's got rice sitting around. One of the things that's nice to do is you can flavor rice pudding, not just with vanilla, but you can put pistachios in it. You use cardamom in it. You can use rose water, orange water in it if you want to get fancy, I guess. But there's just a lot of flavor variations on that. So that's just a simple go-to recipe.
Now, here's the thing. I was poking around online, Chris, and I see some people say you can use that milk after it turns for some recipes, like sour milk. I don't know if I'd have the guts to do that. Is that something you've encountered or done yourself?
Sure. Well, going back to Fanny Farmer, I mean, they have lots of recipes for sour milk. They make sour milk pancakes or sour milk bread. I mean, it's not sourdough, it's sour milk. But sure, they use it. And in baking, they use it all the time. You could certainly do sour milk waffles or pancakes, that would actually be pretty good. So, yeah, it's so interesting when you look back at the old books. They never threw anything out. I mean, even the water they used to cook cabbage in was used in a stock pot. I'm going like, I think that's one
cabbage
step
water.
Too far. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think I'll do that. But they always used the scraps. And that's, you know, if you think about it, that's where stock pots came in handy, right? You had it in the back of the stove on the quote-unquote back burner, literally. And it would be going all day. You just throw all your trimmings and stuff went into the pot. So, yeah, the sour milk all the time. They would use it, sure.
We're talking to Chris Kimball right now from Chris Kimball's Milk Street. He's with us on this week's edition of Food Friday to talk about ways we can use up all our milk, whether it's making our own yogurt or ricotta cheese or using milks in soups, sauces, desserts, and other recipes. We have a few recipes he sent us from the Milk Street over at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you one of those frugal cooks like the old school who never throws anything away? How do you use up old stuff? Do you have favorite recipes that you like to make with milk, maybe as a way of polishing it off before it turns on you? Do you make your own dairy products at home, the yogurts, the ricottas, butter, maybe? Paneer. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking about all the ways we can use up our milk before it goes bad. Chris Kimball is with us, host and founder of Chris Kimball's Milk Street. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a favorite way to use up that milk, a favorite recipe to make with it, or other dairy products you make for yourself at home out of said milk, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Brad is with us in Avoca. Do I have that right, Brad?
Yes, sir.
Whereabouts is that, first of all? That's a new one on me. That's rare.
It's in Iowa County. It's about 20 miles from Dodgeville. So.
Excellent. Okay, sorry. Tell us, what do you do with your milk, Brad?
Well, I tell you what, and we live on a dairy farm, so we can get it whenever we want, but a good way to use up milk is microwave chocolate pudding. My mom got the recipe off the cornstarch box, you know, way back. Super easy, like 5-6 ingredients, you know, some sugar, cornstarch. There's no egg in it. Takes like 5-6 minutes, and it is so good. You can make vanilla or chocolate. The higher fat milk you got, the better. So delicious. It never even gets cold. You just eat it out of the bowl.
How much of that do you put away in a week, Brad?
More than I probably should.
Yeah, I want to make it right now. Thanks a lot for that. Chris, any thoughts on pudding, microwave or otherwise? Chris, are you there?
Oop, yeah, you can. I'm here. So if you use whole fat milk, full fat milk, that's really important, because in a lot of these recipes, you know, people, like my wife, buys non-fat milk sometimes, and I just go crazy. So that stuff just doesn't thicken, doesn't have enough fat in it. Like if you're going to make ricotta or something, you really want to have whole milk there. So full fat milk. So in any of these recipes, that's a good thing. And pudding, yeah. I mean, I grew up, I used to make puddings as a kid, and I love them. So that'd be a great way to use it up. But as I said, if you have non-fat or 2% milk, some of these recipes are just not going to come out as well.
I wonder, so we're a skim milk household mostly. I don't really drink it, but I always have half and half around for my coffee. Can I sort of mix in a little half and half to fatten up my skim milk if I need to for a recipe?
Yeah, half and half is not halfway between cream and milk on on the fat scale. But yeah, I've done that before. You can just mix them up a little bit. I mean, you just want the fat, and especially instead of you're making cheese or something, you want the fat content. But yeah, you can do that.
That's excellent, because I want that pudding now. Let's go back to our callers. Chris is with us in Adams. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I have an amusing story. My former boyfriend, worked at a real high-scale restaurant in Madison, a very small one, and they didn't waste anything in their kitchen. And what they did is they had a big pot at the end of the line, and every bit of everything, including things like the mold on the outside of the cheese, went into this pot. At the end of the night, they set it on the stove to simmer, and then the next morning, it all went through the Cuisinart with a bunch of herbs and some more cream, and they called it potage garbage. And somebody from the Cap Times wanted the recipe for it, and obviously they couldn't give it out because.
It was all random ingredients. I love it. Thanks a lot for that call. Potage garbage. I mean, Chris, that's basically how I make a lot of my soups. Just whatever I have, I throw in and sometimes hope for the best. But I guess I make cream soups. So, of course, I put milk or cream in it. So soups and stews and things like that can end up with some of our dairy in it. Do you have a favorite way to do that?
I remember back in the 60s, there was a young couple in our town in Vermont. And they had this old broken down house, and they were just basically living off the land. And she used to make compost soup, and which means every day she'd throw more stuff. It was like a sourdough starter. She'd just keep adding stuff. And this thing would go on for months, you know. So it would just keep going on and on and on. It had a very long afterlife. So that was her compost soup. Some days it was good, some days it wasn't.
I love it. Thanks for that call. You've got a recipe, staying in soup land here. You've got a recipe for us for chickpea and yogurt soup. Like I could see a lot of dolls would have both of those in it. Tell us about your chickpea and yogurt soup.
Yeah, the yogurt the soup is made with the chickpeas and some chicken broth and water, and you simmer it pretty quickly, like 15 minutes. You can use canned chickpeas for this. Onion, the usual sort of sofrito garlic, maybe some red pepper flakes. And at the end, you whisk in a cup of yogurt and some herbs and, you know, dill's great or some parsley or both. So you could just take a basic chicken stock. And there's also, by the way, that jarred better than bouillon stock, which is actually pretty good. I think you use a teaspoon per cup or something. But you can do it with that. So it's essentially a pantry recipe, right? And then you just throw in a little, you know, a cup of yogurt at the end. And it really is a game changer. So, I mean, you know, chickpeas are one of those things, if you talk about pantry items. I mean, definitely keep canned chickpeas around. I prefer to make hummus with, you know, not canned. But you can, and you can use it. There's all sorts of salads from the Middle East that use chickpeas. They're wonderful. So I use, you know, white beans, chickpeas. Those are just great pantry items.
Find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Chris Kimball is with us from Chris Kimball's Milk Street. It's Food Friday. We are cooking with milk and derivatives thereof. Back to your calls at 800-642-123. Thomas is with us in Manitowoc. Thomas, hi.
Hi. What I wanted to mention was when the milk does go bad, you don't really have to throw it out for quite a while, and buttermilk seems to last way beyond the expiration. It's fantastic for baking and pancakes and muffins and breads and everything. You really can't taste it once it's baked in.
And Thomas, how do you draw the line between, oh, it's kind of bad, I can still use it, to, yeah, no?
Yeah, it gets that kind of like a pungent kind of rotten cheese odor when it's going bad. But before that, before it goes bad, I remember when we were growing up, it seemed like the milk didn't last as long as it does with the ultra pasteurization now, and we were always hollered at for drinking out of the carton. And I remember coming in the house and grabbing the carton out of the fridge and grabbing a big chug, and all of a sudden you could feel lumps in your throat, and you'd spray it out. The milk is bad, throw it out. But my grandma would never let us throw it out. She'd use it for baking. So,
all right, Thomas, thanks for the call. Chris, where do you draw the line on? I mean, lumps, I think, is where I would definitely draw a line.
It's funny he mentioned that story. I was 7 or 8 years old. I still remember the day, and we had been somewhere and came back on a Sunday afternoon. I did exactly what he did. I had that carton of milk, and it was gone. And I'll still remember that. So I got to tell you, I've got a nose for it. So buttermilk, yeah, and slightly off in your pancakes, yeah. But boy, when it really goes bad, it's bad. You know, one thing that nobody makes anymore is Indian pudding. You know. And that uses a ton of milk. A quarter milk goes into a recipe with some cornmeal and molasses, maybe maple syrup, a couple eggs, a little butter. But that's an easy thing to make, and it will use up a whole quarter of milk at a time. So it's a good idea.
Thanks for the call. Sorry you had to relive that experience. We got an email from Grant who says, using cream, I like to make my own butter, often making herbed butters with ramps in season. The leftover buttermilk goes into bread doughs after a bit of souring. It's particularly fine in yeasted or sourdough barley breads. So making butter at home, Chris, I'm going to assume that we are not going to try to do this with any kind of skim milk.
No, I did it by mistake once. I was sailing back a long time ago down in the Caribbean on a bear boat thing, a small boat. And I was asked to whip up, something. It was actually cream. It did turn into butter. It worked out I have to say. That's not what I wanted to have happen. But salted, just make sure you salt it. You know, I have this big thing about unsalted butter. I'm not a fan. So if you're going to whip up your own butter, just make sure that you add enough salt to it, because there's nothing worse than unsalted butter on bread. I mean, it also keeps longer, of course, and that's why, you know, that's why they did salt butter. But it does taste much better, too.
All right. Thanks for sending that email along. In our last minute or so, Chris, give us a quick bit of inspiration. If we've got that milk getting ready to go bad over the weekend, what do you want us to make?
Okay. Now we're going to do something weird. We're going to make kulfi, which is a Indian, very well-known ice cream. You don't have to churn it. And you start with milk, of course, a couple quarts, maybe a little quarter cup, third cup of sugar. You cook it down slowly till about a third of it's left. You can infuse it as you cook it with cardamom pods. They often do that. You can add chopped pistachios at the end, and you freeze it. You can also lighten it with some whipped cream at the end, too. But you don't have to turn it, and it's really good because it has that cardamom pistachio flavor. It's just absolutely terrific.
How am I going to spell that if I want to look that up?
K-U-L-F-I.
K-U-L-F-I. Kulfi. Awesome. That sounds like a great weekend project. Chris, thanks as always for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Chris Kimble, founder and host of Chris Kimble's Milk Street. He joined us today to talk about ways you can use that milk and some other dairy sitting in your fridge before it turns on you. You can find the recipes we talked about today on our website at WPR.org/Food Friday. Oh, and you can hear lots more of Chris, catch episodes of Chris Kimble's Milk Street Radio right here on the Ideas Network. You can do that every Sunday morning at 10.